In the liturgical year, we have various feasts of saints. Most of the great saints have their own feast days, and we celebrate those on the appropriate days. But today is the Feast of All Saints. And today we particularly think of those unnamed ones. You know, normally when we think of saints, we think of St. Francis, St. Dominic, St. Ignatius, you know, the more famous, significant ones that are part of our Catholic history. But there are our parents and grandparents and all the people who are with God. We honor them today. But we also honor ourselves because, you know, St. Paul calls the members of the churches the saints. So the saints aren't just those who have died already. There are living saints too. And when we speak of the communion of saints, we're talking about that communion between the living and the dead, that we're all members of the body of Christ. And so when we say the preface, for example, we say, "And so we join the angels and the saints in proclaiming your glory," as we say, which is really kind of the same words as in that first reading, all that great throng gathered around the throne and saying honor and glory and power and might to our God. This reading from the book of Revelation is a kind of a vision of the heavenly liturgy, and it's a vision of what things will look like at the end of time. And St. John has this vision, and he sees 144,000 gathered around the throne. And the 144,000 has sometimes mistakenly in Christian history been interpreted as the number who are to be saved. And of course, that's worrisome for some because if there are only 144,000 to be saved, most of those have already happened before us. What chance do we have? But the 144,000 is a symbolic number, and it means the church. It's 12,000 times 12. Now, the Bible and the liturgy love the number 12, as we know. There are 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles of the Lamb. 12,000 times 12 is the church. That's the members of the body of Christ. And they are the trees that grow along the river of life that flows from the side of Christ, from the temple. You know, Christ is the new temple. He replaces the old temple. And just as Ezekiel had this vision of water flowing from the temple wall out and becomes a great river and trees grow on its banks, so in John's vision, he picks up on that and he says, the new temple is Christ and blood and water flow from his side, and that's baptism and Eucharist, and it becomes a great river, and 12 trees grow on its banks and they bear fruit 12 times a year, 12 times 12, which is to say they always bear fruit. Their fruit is eternal. And the fruit that they bear, this is the church, is their good works. And the rest of the world eats that fruit and they get saved. So it's a kind of an image in St. John's vision of the church sharing in the ministry of Christ, the saving, healing ministry of Christ, that the whole world gets reconciled through the church. Now, we have all been baptized into Christ, and we are sharers in his priesthood. And one of the things that priests do in the Old Covenant and the New is that they offer prayers and intercessions on behalf of the rest. And so our priestly activity we do every time we gather in this church, and every time we offer the sacrifice, and every time we offer the sacrifice not only of Christ, but our own laid on the altar along with him, and the intercessions that we pray, this is priestly activity that says two things, really. It says, first of all, that we believe that we are saved. We believe that this is already a done deal for us, that Christ saved us on the cross, and so we're not begging for him to notice us and to forgive us and save us. He's already done that. God's love was there before we even asked for it. God has found me before I even knew that I needed to be searching for God. But my willing response to that gift of salvation is that I should start looking around and worrying about other people, that I should offer my life as a sacrifice for their salvation, that I should share in that salvific ministry of Christ. Now, toward the end of that reading, one of the elders says to John, "Who are those dressed in white?" It's the great throng, of course. They're all dressed in white. Who are those people? And John says, "Well, you should know better than I." And so the elder tells him, "Those are the ones who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white." I love that image. You don't wash robes in blood and they come out white. They come out red, don't they? But this is it's a kind of a converse image. It's about death. You know, you wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb, the blood that flows from the side of Christ, the salvific blood that comes from his death, the blood that was shed for our salvation. And as priests of Christ, we enter into his death. So in other words, this priestly activity, this business of being Christian, it's all about our dying. In baptism, we died with Christ so that we might share in his resurrection. Every time we celebrate Eucharist, we die with Christ. We lay ourselves on the altar along with him. We lay down our lives. It's all about dying. And you know, we talk sometimes about the first half of life and the second half of life. And I think this is pertinent here. In the first half of life, we learn to tie our own shoes. We learn to dress ourselves. We get educated. We get a job. We spend that first half of life building up our self-image, our ego, building a life, building responsibility, and all of that. And we have to do that first half of life well so that we can do the second half of life well. And the second half of life is the opposite of the building up. It's the letting go. It's the falling down. It's that realization that we come to somewhere in midlife that it isn't all about me. And that all the stuff I've done is to some extent wasted because it doesn't belong to me anyway. It belongs to God. And it's there for others to feed off of. And I'm a servant after all. It isn't about my being served. It's about my becoming a servant. Christ said, "I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for the many." Well, as priests of Jesus Christ, that's our mission too. It's about the dying. It's about the laying down of life. It's about washing our robes in the blood of the Lamb. And then finally, there's another great image in this liturgy. The responsorial psalm says, "Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face." Sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes, in fact, we're absolutely wrong. Sometimes we're not paying attention. Sometimes we get the wrong idea or we're going in the wrong direction. But there's one overarching characteristic that marks all of us Christians. We are the people, right or wrong, mistaken or true, that long to see God's face. We've been baptized into that longing. We've been raised up since little children in that longing. Sometimes we don't know what that means, but we long for it anyway. We long to see God's face. We call that the heavenly vision, the beatific vision, the ability to see God face to face. And St. John, in that letter that we read as our second reading, says, "We are already God's children by baptism, by the action of Christ on the cross, by incorporating us into the Trinitarian life. We are already God's children. What we will later be has not yet come to light. We don't know the details of the end. But we do know this," he says, "we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's the beatific vision. That's the ability to look into the face of God and live. In the Old Testament, there was this notion that anyone who looked on God would die. You can't look on God and live. But Christ gives us a whole new way of looking at that. He says, This is the people that looks on the face of God and lives forever. You look into God's eyes and you don't see condemnation, you see mercy. You look into God's face and you don't see judgment, you see consolation and reconciliation. And each of us in our own way is journeying toward that. We're stopping and starting, we're making mistakes and we're doing things right, and gradually we're getting there. We're trusting that somehow through our imperfect lives, grace is working in us and we are preparing ourselves for the beatific vision. That our longing is not in vain, that our longing to see God's face will happen one day.